Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning. I wanted to just acknowledge, you know, I get mentioned every Sunday, well, the last few Sundays, about my stole. Many of you have seen the other side, which is the side that I often wear, which looks like this. I was requested to wear the green side, primarily because they hadn't seen it before, but also because we actually are in the green season. Well, green, liturgical color of green is a part of just the regular season of the church in the season following Pentecost. And so green is kind of what they call common time in the church's liturgical calendar. This stole was made for me by Pam Ikigami and Sonny Mayakawa and Mary Ann Tada. They said, we always see the blue side, we want to see the green side. And I said, it's a little hard for me to see the green side because it makes me think about how frenetic my energy is. You know, it's not in the straight patterns, but it is a part of a sort of an artistic pattern. I wear it as a note of gratitude to the folks who helped to make it for me. So we are in our third week of our sermon series called How Does Your Garden Grow? And today's sermon is called The Need to Weed. We're going to go kind of summarize. So David, if you can go to the screen that we have, How Does Your Garden Grow? We've been talking about how to grow the ministry of Blaine Memorial. And really, in lots of ways, even last Sunday as we were talking about it, we were talking about ways that we grow individually as well. We know that as we are growing as Christians, our church is going to be able to grow. And if we are not growing as Christians, the church isn't going to be able to grow. And so part of, I've been couching this as a way for us to think about the future of our church, but it is important for us to know that it is a part of all of our faith journey to continue to grow in our faith. As we continue to grow and be challenged, we know that the church will do that as well. This is our kind of our sermon series, and I wanted to read the scripture reading that I ended with last week, and that's the parable of the sower. We're kind of referring to the parable of sower over the last few weeks, and it's a powerful metaphor that reminds us that planting seeds and allowing those seeds to be nurtured, that is a God act, but it is also a part of what we are called to do. As God calls us to scatter seed, we know that it is God who is the one who ordains the growth, but we realize that it does take our efforts to help to make that pass. This is the parable of the sower from Luke chapter 8. David, you don't have to pull it up necessarily. It's okay. You could just stay with the other passage. And then at the end, I'll pull up the Colossians passage. This is the parable of the sower. When a great crowd gathered and people from town after town came to him, he said to them in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. And he said this. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to listen hear." Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables, so that looking they may not perceive, and listening they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root because they believe only for a while, and in time a time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for the one in good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast, and in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patient endurance. Reminds us of this gift that God gives to us as we scatter seed and see our lives as the kind of soil that would be able to nurture those seeds into fruitfulness. We think about what God has blessed us with. We realize that that is a wonderful gift. It's a gift of grace, but we realize it's also a responsibility. It calls upon us to be faithful to that gift. And part of what we see in the life of the church is a way for us to be faithful to that gift here in this place. As we scatter seed in this ministry, we realize that our prayer always is that that will bring forth a fruitfulness that will be a blessing not just to us, but to others as well. So we're going to just kind of go over this summary real quick. David, if you go to the next slide. The first week we talked about seeing the not yet. Second week was planting seeds for the future, and today is called the need to weed. the need to weed. So we'll go to the next slide and go over it kind of briefly. The first week, I basically just talked about the need for us to have vision. I described the idea that you go out into a yard and you see an empty piece of ground and think to yourself, what could I plant here? And have visions and dreams of what it might look like. Seeing our church in the very same way, recognizing that there have been plants and flowers and things planted here over the generations of this church's history, but we are called to plant anew. Every season, we are called to plant anew. And what is it that we would do to plant seeds and enable those seeds to grow? And so some of that takes a good sense of vision. Next slide, planting seeds for the future. Last Sunday, I talked about the need for us to have three engagements: spiritual engagement, congregational engagement, community engagement. Spirituality being the idea that we continue to seek after God's leadership and God's guidance in our lives, and we do so through prayer, through worship, through what we share in community, as we are fellowshipping together in small groups and in fellowship, that those are important part of who we are. What Pastor Jeannie was referring to was last Sunday during that portion of spiritual engagement, I asked the question, how many of you pray for your church? And I saw some nodding heads, and I saw some affirmation. And then I asked the question, how many of you pray for your pastors? And there was this sort of dumbfounded look on everybody's face. They're like, oh, yeah, we didn't think about that. We don't pray for our pastors, so we should pray for our pastors. That's what Pastor Jeannie was referring to. This last week has been most interesting because I've been getting lots of responses from people. Oh, we didn't think about that, but we're praying for you, Reverend Derek. We've been praying. And the thing that's been most interesting is that the response that I've gotten a lot is, we're really praying for Pam. And I think that's an interesting comment. You should pray for Pam. It's not a joy to be married to me, let me tell you. So you should pray for Pam. And then the second one was congregational engagement, the idea that we always want to nurture those seeds in community, what we do in fellowship, as we create a community that is loving and caring and kind and generous, that is a big part of how those seeds will grow into wonderful, fruitful plants and trees and flowers. And then third was community engagement, was this idea that we cannot think of those seed plantings as something we do only here, but we realize that our ministry is called to be outside the walls, and part of our challenge is how we live that out in faith, how we go and engage our community and seek to serve our community in a way that would be fruitful as well. And so with those three engagements, I talked about ways that all of those are seed plantings for us. And the question for us is, can we, as we engage in those three things, find ways to be able to nurture those seeds to a wonderful fruitfulness? This week, we're talking about the need to weed. The need to weed. So will it go, David? Sometimes we freeze up. There it goes. The need to weed. Go ahead and hit it, David. I'm not sure what I wrote there. Okay. So one of the things that gardeners know is that if you want to have a garden, you're going to have to weed, right? You're going to have to weed. You just know that that's a part of it. It's not pleasant. It's not easy, but it's a part of what we do. But if you think about this gardening metaphor, it's a very interesting thing because it reminds us of the ways in which weeding is a part of this life of faith, the life in community, our life as a church. So the first thing was, the reality is that if you are a gardener, you have to deal with weeds. There's nothing that you can do about it. There are going to be weeds. You're going to have to deal with it, right? And the only way that you can deal with it is get your hands dirty, right? You have to get your hands dirty, and you have to get into the hard work of things. Go to the next one, David. One of the things that you can do is, if you want to just kind of cut to the chase, you just chop the tops off. How many of you have ever done that? Pam does that all the time. She has one of those weed whackers, you know, and she goes out and she weeds by chopping all the tops off, right? But what happens when you chop the tops off? They grow right back. They just grow right back. Sometimes it seems like it's like overnight, right? You chop it down and then you go out in the morning and they're already starting to grow back. And that's a wonderful metaphor for us. Sometimes in the weeds of our lives, we want to just chop off the tops because it's just easier to just do it that way. But the reality is that if we don't dig out the roots, that the weeds are going to just grow back. Next one, David. The weeds will grow and spread. One of the things we know about weeds is that they continue to grow, but not only do they grow, when the wind blows, it spreads the spores all over the place, and weeds are everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And the reality is that one of the reasons why we pull out those weeds is because we realize if we don't take it and nip it in the bud at the beginning, it's going to just continue to grow and continue to spread. Last one is, our garden will never reach full potential if we don't do our weeding. The reality is that if we want things to be fruitful, if we want them to produce what they were intended to produce, we have to make sure that we are doing this weeding, because it will begin to choke off the roots, and we will find that the fruit, the plants, the flowers, they will not be as fruitful as the potential that they have inside of them. Now, as I lift up that metaphor, what I realize is that those of you who are I am not a gardener. It's funny that I'm writing all these things, but I don't think I've ever really weeded. Pam is the one who does all the weeding and gardening in our house. I'm not really good at this, but these are metaphors that you all can recognize. If you plant, if you have plants, if flowers, if you have a garden, you realize that these things are true. But what I want to suggest to all of us today as I think about this this topic of the need to weed is the reality is that while we describe it as weeding our yard, it's also something that has to do with our lives, and that these very things are important parts of who we are as people. So the first thing that I wanted to lift up was the need to weed in our lives, that we can't go very much farther without realizing that every single person, all of us, we all have weeds in our lives. We just do. It's a part of our human journey. We realize that in our journey, we have relationships that aren't as fruitful as we'd like them to be. There's some brokenness in our lives. I won't go through all of these things, but these are the kinds of things that we see in our lives where we see folks who have destructive habits that they can't get away from. There are ways in which folks are going through struggles and suffering because of losses that they've experienced and not able to get past those losses. We realize that sometimes we have addictions. And when I talk about addictions, there's no doubt that we are in an opioid crisis. There is so much around us that creates the spirit of addiction. But addiction happens at many different levels and to many different things. And we realize that sometimes that addictive personality, it's not just the drug addict or somebody who's addicted to alcohol. Sometimes it is the very nature of who we are and how we live in this life, that sometimes that addiction is food addictions or addictions to our jobs. There's so many ways that we see that and realize that those are the kinds of weeds that we experience in our lives. The reality is that we wish that we could just let those weeds be. We don't want to deal with them. We say, it is what it is, and I can't change it. This is the way life is, and I'm going to just have to live with it. But the reality is that, going back to the metaphor that I started with, if we allow those weeds to take root, they're going to continue to grow. And not only they're going to grow, they're going to spread. And as they continue to spread, they're going to continue to choke off the fruitfulness of your life. That you will find that life will not be as joyful. You will not be able to experience a fruitfulness in your life. And that doesn't mean that it consumes us to the point where we are dying, but it does mean that if we really want life to be all that it was created by God to be, then we're going to have to do some weeding. Now, is it easy? No, it's not. But it is important. And so as you look at this list, I know that as I put that list up there, something snapped for you right away. Maybe it is a relationship that you would like to have be more to be more of a blessing for you and for the other. Maybe it is that you thought of a habit that you need to move past. Maybe it is that you're thinking about the loss of a loved one and know that it has been a struggle and that you carry that burden with you in your life. The reality is that we wish we could walk around it. We wish we could just avoid it. We want to just chop the tops off those weeds and just let them sit, but they always grow back. And the reality is that if we're going to really experience the kind of fruitfulness that God promises for us, then we're going to have to get our hands dirty and dig into the ground and get those weeds out. One of the things that I'm so grateful about with Pastor Jeannie is she comes in with a wealth of experience related to pastoral care. And one of the things that we've been talking about is having a grief support group here at this church. And we've talked about it for years, but you know, always kind of walking around it and not sure who could lead it, and I don't have time, and how are we going to do this? And then Pastor Jeannie comes in and says, I think I'm ready to help and lead a grief group in this church. And realize that that is a part of that weeding process that we're talking about. Because each one of us, we have experienced loss of a loved one. We've experienced grief that comes from the challenges and changes of being on our own, of letting those loved ones go. And realize that it would take the kind of opportunity that a grief support group can provide that would enable us to dig up those weeds. So begin with that. I know that those things up there, they're hard. I'm not trying to make it sound easy, but I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Maybe it's just one thing up there that you might be able to take up and realize that, like weeding, it's a step-by-step process. Nothing is going to magically change, but it's, how do we move step by step and inch by inch to bring about healing and restoration in our lives in these areas? So that kind of weeding begins with our own life. Second, it is important for us to recognize that It's not just our lives that need weeding, but also our life in community, our life in community. Many of you would recognize, and we have been talking about the ways in which the community that we're living in and the challenges and changes that we are experiencing, they are great. But the reality is it's so easy for us to get walled off from those things. We look at these things that are listed up there, and we think to ourselves, well, that doesn't really affect me. You know, I'm fine in my family life and in my community with my homes. But the reality is that even as we see and experience these things on the news and we hear about them, we realize that they are creating this field where seeds are being planted. And we recognize that the way that those seeds are being planted and the weeds that are around them, it chokes off fruitful living. And if it chokes off fruitful living in our communities, if it chokes off fruitful living in our government, if it chokes off fruitful living in our church and in our community, we realize that it cannot be what it was created to be. And as we are a part of that fabric of life, we realize that it affects us. We might think that this political discourse that we are experiencing now doesn't really affect us, but it affects us greatly because these are the leaders of our community. You know, we're having this debate here today, and the reality is that there's been a lot of tension, a lot of vitriol being passed on both sides, and realizing that, you know, how is it that we might be able to select a leader who's going to move Seattle in a new way? And the reality is that we are challenged by that. But the question, I think, for us is to recognize that while we may not favor the kind of political discourse that we have been hearing lately, we can't just turn a blind eye to it or turn away and think that it doesn't matter to us, because it does. Those are the people who lead us in community. And it's important for us to be able to select someone that we feel will be able to help us to be all that we are created to be. That's the kind of weeding we are doing. And so I lift that up to all of you just to help you to know and to realize that when we are talking about weeding, it's not just our own personal lives. It's also what we are doing and living in community. That when we see homeless encampments, we realize that we can't just turn a blind eye and say it doesn't matter to us, because it does matter to who we are in the fabric of this community life. And so we need to address those things. I know that they are complex and very difficult problems, but the weeds are going to continue to grow until we start to dig them out and provide the kind of life for people that would enable them to find shelter, have food, live in community, and feel accepted. How important that is for us. And so thinking about that, needing to weed in our community. And finally, this is where we've been going, is talking a little bit about our church. It's important for us to know that thinking about the way that the church lives is an important part of who we are and what we do as well. That as we think about it, we look at our church and think to ourselves that planting seeds has a lot to do with ministry. But what I want to suggest today is that if the soil is going to be right, then it is going to be when we create a culture that can accept those seeds and allow those seeds to grow. And so I've put up a couple of things that are related to how we live in community life, whether we are people of scarcity or abundance, whether we are insular in our thinking or expansive in our thinking, whether we are exclusive in our community or whether we are open and inclusive, whether we have an attitude of gratitude, if we see ourselves as being thankful always, knowing that everything that we have is a part of the gift nature of everything that we experience. And if we're willing to walk the hard road, if we're open to change, if we're willing to go beyond our comfort zones. As we look at those, we realize, you might be thinking to yourself, well, what does that have to do with anything, Reverend Derek? You know, if we just are a faithful church and we have good Bible studies and we have good programs, our church is going to grow. And that is true. There is no doubt that we put time and energy into creating the kinds of programs that are going to be a blessing to others. But what I want to suggest, too, is it's also the soil in which the seed is planted that tells us whether it's going to take root and it's going to be able to grow. I would tell you that one of the big ones up there for me is whether our attitude is one of scarcity rather than abundance. Do we think of ourselves as what we cannot do or what we can do? Do we think of ourselves as having limits or do we think of ourselves as having possibilities? Now, that's a very subtle and kind of nuanced thing, but the reality is that it makes a huge difference in who we are and how we take the seeds that have been planted in our church. How many of you have ever been a part of a program where they've said, oh, you know what, we can't do that. That's too big a vision. It's not something that we have the resources for. We can't do the things that you are describing. Now, there are times when we need to be realistic about things. It's true. But there are always ways in which we can see that if God gives us a vision, God's also creating possibilities for us to be able to walk into that and give us the resources that would enable us to do just that. I look around this room and I see people who are abundance thinkers. Like I think of Toshi Okamoto as he started Cairo. How many times did he have people tell him, you know what, we can't do that in this community. It's too expensive. The resources are just not there. We can't do this. But doing it for his parents and their generation, was willing to step out and say, we can do this. These are the opportunities that are before us, and this is a need, and we can do this. Think about Sam Mitsui and Walk for Rice, and how many people Walk for Rice has fed in this community. The first Walk for Rice was just a few hundred people walking up here on Beacon Avenue, and look at it now. I'm sure that people told Sam, you know what, don't worry, Sam, it's going to be fine. It's not going to be a big deal. We'll just, you know, it's going to be okay. But realizing that the need was great, and the desire to provide was so important that they thought not in terms of limits, but in terms of possibilities. And what I want to suggest is that when your church thinks in terms of abundant possibilities in everything that it does, we realize how powerful a gift that is to the church, because we realize that there are always going to be this sense that we could create our own self-imposed limits. But God says to us, continue to believe and have faith that if I give you a vision, I'm going to provide resources, enable you to see that as a possibility for the future. Is it going to be easy? No, it's not. But can we encounter that step by step, day by day? Yes, we can if we have an attitude of abundance. The other one up there that's really important to me is this sense of gratitude, the sense of gratitude. Because that gratitude, it controls how we think about our way of being in community. I've been in communities before where the note of cynicism in the community or the critical nature of the community itself has become weeds that has kept the church from being all that it was created to be. But when we begin to see ourselves with a spirit of gratitude and realize that everything that we have here is a gift, it's been given to us by God as a gift. And the question for us is, can we not allow ourselves to be drawn into cynicism, to be drawn into judgmentalness and backbiting, and instead see us working together, knowing that it is a gift that we have been given, not belonging to any one person or any one idea, but realizing that it comes to us as a gift and a potential for ministry and for fullness of life. And it begins with our attitude of gratitude, starting with thankfulness and realizing that it is that thankfulness that then moves us out and says, come and follow me. The final one at the bottom there is realizing that what I'm describing in terms of weeding, getting out our cynicism, getting out our criticalness, getting out our judgmentalness, getting out our feelings of scarcity, and instead going to that place where we feel a sense of abundance, those are hard roads to walk, and it will be difficult to weed out all of that. But the reality is that if we want to grow as a church, it is going to begin with that. And what I want to suggest to you all today is that as you describe those things, what's important about that is to realize that that is the soil in which seeds are planted. And if we are that kind of soil, I believe that anything can grow. But if we are a community that is engaged in small thinking, if we think in an insular way, if we are closing our doors and our the walls of our hearts because we think that our ministry should only be for certain people and in certain things and in certain ways, that what we begin to see is our church begin its decline. And so the challenge for us is to be able to see that it's going to be a hard road, but we have to be open to change. We have to be willing to get beyond our comfort zones. But if we can do that, I believe that the seeds that are planted here in this place, they can be nurtured into fruitfulness that would bless us and bless our world. A challenge for us to think about as we think about the idea of weeding, not just our garden, also our lives, our community, but here in our church as well. Because if we can do that, the reality is that the kind of weeding that we are talking about, it's going to allow the seeds that have been planted here in this place to be fruitful and to bless us and to bless our community. I close with a scripture reading this morning. So you can go to the scripture reading, David, now, the Colossians scripture passage. So the passage this morning comes from Colossians 3, 12 through 17. It's a passage that one of my most favorite passages, but Just a little bit of background. So they don't think that many times the book of Colossians is thought of as being written by Paul, but they think that it was maybe an associate of Paul, somebody who was a colleague of his, because uses the same kinds of terminologies and same Pauline theology, but uses words that are a little bit different than Paul uses. So they're not sure if Paul wrote this, but it's a letter that is written to the church in Colossae. And the letter is written out of the context of a community that is struggling to understand who Jesus is. There are heresies that are being taught in their community, and they're beginning to struggle with, what does Jesus mean? Who is this Jesus to us? And how is it that his life will be a part of the salvation of our own souls, but also the salvation of our community? And so the writer begins by laying out a basic biblical theology of who Jesus is and what Jesus means for this community. And then in chapter 3, he takes a shift. He talks not just about how it is, who Jesus is and what Jesus means to the community, but he talks about what that means to the community itself. And he uses this terminology of clothes. He says, let us put off that which keeps us from being all that we are created to be, and let us put on Christ. As we put on Christ and all the values that Christ has given to us, we know that our community will look different to others. We are going to be a community that is fruitful and that is blessing others. And so this is the passage that comes to us from the writer of Colossians in the third chapter, verses 12 through 17. Listen to the words and think to yourself, if a community can be created in this way and carry on these core values and characteristics, think about how powerful that community can be and how attractive that community would be to others, the kind of gravitational pull that community would have to people outside of its walls if it were to live with these values and these this ethic. So this comes to us from Colossians 3. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I love that passage because it reminds us that if Christ really does come to be a part of our lives, if Christ does come to be a part of this community, then we are going to look different. We are going to act different. We're going to be together in a different way, and it's going to bring about a transformation in who we are and what we can do. Think about that kind of community in the world that we are living in today. If there was a community that said those very things, at a time when politics are so ugly, at a time when our community is struggling, we are going to be a community of love and kindness and compassion and meekness and caring. And we are going to put on Christ in everything that we do, so much so that the love that we have for one another, it's going to be such a Christ-like love that people are going to look at it and say, wow, what is it about that community that enables them to live in that way? Can you imagine in the world that we are living in today, if the church were that kind of organization, how much gravitational pull that spin would have? It would pull people in from all over because it would remind people that there is a way in which we can be together in community. Not that we are all the same, but that we learn how to live together and work together and be together, be kind to one another and be meek with one another, have humility and realize that we can be compassionate and caring for one another. Maybe it is that kind of community would be the one that would nurture the seeds that God has given and allow it to be fruitful in such a way that it would transform the world. As you think about that, realize the gift that God has given to us and how we live that out. Reverend Dion was talking about our harvest festival yesterday, and we had over 70 kids, many who came from our community. There were different languages being spoken in the Lee Activity Center on Sunday, and it was an amazing, amazing thing. And I was thinking to myself, we've been talking about it a little bit. We haven't really talked about it much. But the thing that was interesting to me was we have been advertising the Harvest Festival to the community for probably the last 3 years or something like that. It's been put out at Kimball School. It's been put out in our community blogs and community websites and things like that. But never did it seem like we were ever able to attract any kids from the community. And yet, yesterday, there was such a wonderful gathering of people here. And I asked myself the question, what was it that enabled them to feel like this was a safe place for them to come to experience a harvest festival? And what I want to suggest to you all is that this is the fruitfulness that comes from the seeds that we have been planting over the last few years, which tells our community that we want to be a good neighbor to you, that we want to be engaged with in works that help Kimball School, that we want to provide something here at this church that allows us to be a beacon of hope. And maybe it is, I don't know, I didn't ask anybody, but I'm just wondering, maybe it is that that is what enabled new people to come yesterday in a way that they had not come before. We probably had double the number of children that we had last year, and we had twice as many parents and people that were there, and we had a lot of volunteers. And I look at that and I think to myself, what caused that to happen? And I wonder if it might be that the soil of this church as a place of love and caring and compassion spoke to people outside the walls and said, this is a safe place to be, and that we might experience the gifts of that love here in this place. I'll tell you another story about a time that I was working in California at a church. We had heard that there was a woman in our community who was not affiliated with the church who wanted to have a funeral service, and she didn't know what to do. Her only friend who she could talk to about it was a member of our church, and so in their conversation, she went to her and asked, do you think that your pastors and your church would allow me to have a funeral service? And the woman said, well, I don't know, let me ask my pastors. And when they came to talk to us about it, we said, of course, if we can be helpful to this grieving family, let us know, and we will provide a funeral service and a place for fellowship for them to join together. And so the woman came to us, and she said those very words. She said, I'm not a member of this church. I don't belong to this community. But my friend told me that you would allow me to have the service here. And so we activated all of the things that come around funeral planning. We had our funeral committee kind of surround that person and let them know that we would help them. Our funeral setup crew came in and told them that we would help to set up the sanctuary in a way that would provide for them to have the service. And she had the funeral service and felt so blessed by the community and so supported and loved. And she said these words. She said, I wasn't known to any of you, and yet you took me in and you let me be a part of the community just for that moment. And as I was, I felt the love of this place. And from that day, from that very day, she became a part of the church's fellowship. She started attending worship. She became a part of our church's fellowship. And the thing that was really interesting about it was she became a part of the kitchen crew. And when you asked her why, she said, I remembered the kitchen crew providing for me when I was an outsider and was needing somebody to receive me. And so I want to do that for this church as well, so that I might be able to provide that same gift to others who need that gift here in the church. I want to suggest to all of you today that that is what it means for us to be that kind of church. And if we want to grow as a church, it isn't going to be just programs and worships. It will be, of course, those things that will help to nurture those seeds. But what I want to suggest as well, it's when we're a community of abundance, when we are a community of gratitude, when we're a community of joy and hope, when we are a place where people can come, where they can feel like their lives just feel so free and so full. That is our hope as a church. And what I want to suggest to all of us today is that if we desire to grow as a congregation, it will be when we allow ourselves to do the very hard work of weeding, when we take out cynicism, when we take out judgmentalness, when we take out negativity, when we take out a spirit of scarcity, when we remove those weeds and say, we are a community of abundance and gratitude and generosity. We are a community built on love and justice. We're a community built on hope for the world. Come and experience that gift that Christ has given to us and that we desire to give to you. If we can live into that, I believe firmly that the church has an important place in our community and for this world. And my prayer is that we would be just that church. And so we see the need to weed. We weed out that which keeps us from living fully and faithfully as a church. And my prayer is that as we do those things, the seeds will begin to take root and they will grow into fruitful trees. And as it does just that, we know that we are then ready to bless the world in a powerful and important way. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Gracious God, we're grateful and thankful for all the ways that you move in this place. We realize in this community life that we carry so much, we do so much. We are a part of a community of faith that seeks to be all that you've created us to be. But we know, God, that there are times when weeds begin to sprout up, even in a church community. We know, God, that through this church's history, there has been a can-do attitude that says, we will take care of the weeds that we have, and we will allow this church to be fruitful in all that it seeks to do in this community. We know that this is hard work, oh God. We know that there is sometimes the need for us to be able to weed out those things that keep us from being all that you've created us to be. But we know, oh God, that we can do this hard work with your guidance and your spirit, giving us strength and wisdom to know how best to carry this out in our ministry. We know, God, that our desire is to grow into a faithful community, not because we want to increase numbers, not because we need pledging money, not because we want to fill the sanctuary with abundant numbers of people, but we do so, God, because it is what you have called us to do. And as we seek to fulfill that call, as we seek to be the community that you've created us to be, we know that our fruitfulness will bless the world. And it is this blessing that would enable this church to fulfill all that you have created it to be. We pray, oh God, that you would bless and be with us in this journey. Enable us, oh God, as we continue through this sermon series, to believe, oh God, that you have called us to the growth that we are foreseeing in all that we are sharing. And we pray, oh God, that you would enable us to move into this by the ways that we would be together in community, by the ways that we seek after your spirit, by the ways we seek to engage in ministries in our community. We pray, oh God, that you would guide us and bless us, empower us and shape us in all of this. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we offer this.